excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best of
friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this Emerald Bowl edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the road home from, well, actually the Rock Ridge BART station where I took public transit into the city. Of course, anytime you win a bowl game, it's a good thing. But it's particularly nice when the day before you made a prediction on national TV that worked out to be the exact right score. Go back and watch my YouTube video of me on College Football Now, and you'll see I predicted 24-17. And I'm pretty happy about that. It seems I always bring the accurate score when the big games come, because last year I predicted the right score for the Oregon game. This year it was the bowl game. In any case, just had to do a little bit of bragging. In the big picture, I think the Bears got lucky tonight. I think that if that big turnover hadn't happened deep in Miami territory, the Bears don't win that game. They hadn't gotten any meaningful offense going since the first quarter, and Miami was wearing down the Cal defense. True, Cal had had the one drive immediately before the missed field goal and ensuing fumble that gave Cal the ball back. That was an okay drive. They got, you know, halfway, three-quarters of the way down the field, entirely on the back of the running game. But let's be honest, Nate stunk it up tonight. He was not able to hit the broadside of a barn. And it really surprised me. I've always been one to say, you know, Nate's not as bad as people think, that most of his interceptions, that while they've come at inopportune times, have also been times where he needed to press. And there's been very few times when he threw costly interceptions when the game was out of hand, or, you know, things were just getting rolling, or things like that. It was always moments where they needed that drive. And he's had a lot of accuracy in the past, and I just don't know what happened to him. Sometime about when the fans started to turn on him in 07, his attitude towards the game of football changed. And I think he's perhaps too cavalier these days. He's always had a slight tinge of being on the relaxed side and not Mr. Intensity and that sort of thing. But you just almost feel like he doesn't care. You know, he went into the interview room tonight to be interviewed and he just didn't say much, you know. And it wasn't just like he was trying to avoid the tough question. It was just like he didn't care. And I hope that's not true. I don't want it to be true. But I don't know. Nate's a better football player than he's been playing for the majority of this season. And I don't know. It's hard to explain what's going on. He missed a great opportunity, though. I mean, this was really his chance to show he was ready for the NFL. To go out there and throw for 300 yards and two touchdowns and zero interceptions and really have command of everything and no question marks. And people could say, okay, he was in a tough quarterback competition with a guy that, you know, maybe Tedford liked too much, but he's got the fundamentals and he's sound and he's tall and he's big and we're going to give him a shot. But when you finish on a performance like that, I think it's a lot less likely someone's going to give you that shot. So, in the end, the game was almost entirely on the back of running the ball. And I don't care who you are, unless you are vastly superior to your opponent, if you are one-dimensionally a running team, you are going to lose. The defense will eventually load the box enough to stop it. Doesn't matter if you have Jahvid Best and five Alex Macks out there and the best blocking wide receivers in the history of college football. You just can't win that consistently. And then on the other side of the ball, Miami was getting more balanced. They were getting comfortable with their passing game. The quarterback was figuring out how to read our 3-4 defense and our zone schemes. The running game was opening up as the Bear defense got tired. They were on the field a lot today. I didn't get the final numbers for the game, but in the first half, nearly 19 minutes was for Miami. And this is with the Bears leading 14-7. And I think it wasn't any better in the second half. So they had 35-plus to 40 minutes of time, and that's just going to wear a defense down. I don't care how you split it. So you had a Cal defense that was getting tired against an offense that was finding its balance and its rhythm, going up against a team that had no balance and had a quarterback couldn't hit the broadside of a barn if he needed to. That's not a recipe for success with 4 minutes left in the game at tied, particularly when the first team's got the ball. But the Bears get a miraculous turnover deep down in there that basically wins them the game. Because now the defense can play an entirely different type of defense. You know, they can just focus on preventing the touchdown. They don't have to worry about keeping you out of field goal range. Or worse yet, the game's still tied. You know, any score wins the game. Or even if you get to overtime, it's eventually going to wear you down. So I really don't think the Bears win that game if they don't get that big turnover. And so yet again, it's the defense that's getting the job done for the Bears. And I really hope the offense gets its act together next year. You know, they're not losing hardly anybody. They're losing their fullback, Tofuo, and they're losing Alex Mack, etc. And that's it. We get Riley back, who hopefully will put it all together this offseason. Hopefully he'll be able to throw from behind a more solid offensive line. And a wide receiver core that finally gets it for a whole season and they can get in a good rhythm and a good sync. Plus you're going to have Javon Best, Shane Vereen back, and Cameron Moore at tight end. So all the pieces are there. I think the two things that need to happen on offense for them to be successful next year is Riley has to really absorb everything in the offseason and get that next maturing step, and then the offensive line has to get a little bit more cohesive to buy him some more time. And those two things happen, I think the offense can get it together. And then it's just a question of whether the defense can live up to this year's expectations, which probably it can't, but they had to play so good this year to keep us in so many games that I don't think they should have to play that good for the Bears to be Pac-10 title contenders. I mean, look at it. If we had even halfway reasonable offense against USC and Oregon State, we win those games. The defense really needed to play well against Oregon for that win, and I think that's true no matter what. Oregon's always a tough team to beat if your defense doesn't know how to slow them down. So perhaps that's the one game next year where the defense really needs to live up to its billing. But the rest of the Pac-10, I don't see anybody who really scares me for next year if the offense can find some rhythm and the defense can keep some of its mojo going. It doesn't have to be quite as good. There don't have to be quite as many interceptions and turnovers. But they do have to corral the opponent, not let them have big sustained drives, and do a good job of getting the ball back to the offense. As far as individual performances, what can you say about Javon Best? I mean, the guy really is a great runner. And when he's healthy, he's at a whole other level than when he's nursing leg injuries. The arm injuries, I don't think, are a big deal. You know, he's not a straight armer or power arm runner. So that's not what wins it for him. I mean, it might lead to some ball security issues, but it's not going to be a productivity issue. But he was running great tonight. He set an Emerald Bowl record for a game at 186. Now, it's a young bowl game, so any Emerald Bowl record is not that impressive to some degree. I mean, his 42-yard touchdown run was the longest run in Emerald Bowl history. 42 yards. I mean, that's, come on. Don't the Bears do that at least a couple of times a season? You know, I mean, five times a season? hard to believe that no one's had that in the 7 years of the Emerald Bowl. But 186 is good. Let's not deny it. That's a good number. He also surpassed Forsett, so it's the second highest rushing total in Cal Bear history for a season, second only to Arrington's 2,000 yards, which I think Best has the tools to beat that, particularly if you get an offense that's providing him a little more balance so they can't load the box on him. You get him so he has a more healthy season. I think it's definitely in his power to do that. So obviously that was a great performance. Already talked about Longshore, obviously weak performance. The offensive line, I think, actually did okay. They let some pressure get through, but that's because Miami was bringing some heat. And I was impressed with the Miami defense. What I didn't mind about Longshore was when he threw the ball away. I mean, he's very good at knowing when it ain't going to happen, let me get rid of the ball. It's the open receivers that he's missing that's problematic. I mean, he missed Ross on like three different times. You know, I mean, he had that great pass to Tucker that almost was a touchdown, and the Bears converted a short while later. But other than that, I mean, he was just not on the mark. Even some of the completions, the receivers had to go up and get a ball they shouldn't have to go up and get. Speaking of which, I think the receivers did a respectable job considering what was thrown their way. They were running reasonable routes. On defense, across the board, I was happy with them. I thought Conti had a really good game. Not Sid-level good, but he's coming along. When we're missing Sid, you know, and some people are even saying he might go out early, but whenever it is, if it's next season or two seasons from now, we're going to need Conti or someone like him to step up, to go besides Hagan. And Conti looked pretty good today. I didn't look at him and say he was trouble. He broke up a number of passes, and he seemed to have a little trouble with the comebackers, you know, of getting too deep and then being unable to come back with the receiver. But overall, he did fine. Sid, as always, played a great game, was a shutdown corner. They really stopped throwing to his side of the field. The safeties may have just been the weakest position on the Cal defense, because there were a couple times they really didn't corral things like they should. I'm having a hard time thinking of a specific example, but they didn't have their best game. But the defensive line and the linebackers played great, got all kinds of pressure, fell back into coverage. Zach Follett, of course, deserves the MVP after that huge forced fumble. So, I mean, across the board, it was a great game for the defense. I mean, let's not forget that Miami is a pretty potent team. So let's take a step back and look at the big picture of the season. 9-4, with losses to Maryland, Arizona, Oregon State, and USC. Now, at the beginning of the season, I said the Bears were going to lose to Arizona, Oregon, and USC. So I got the wrong Oregon school. We actually beat Oregon at home and lost to Oregon State on the road. But I got Arizona right. I knew they were trouble. I knew for whatever reason the Bears would be slightly overlooking them and they would be trouble. And then I missed the Maryland loss. Just didn't see how much that cross-country trek was going to hurt the Bears. But overall, I feel pretty good with where I put the Bears, with the possible exception of I put them way up in the Holiday Bowl as a result, which 6-3 in the conference these days, particularly with the teams at the bottom of the conference who just aren't winning many Pac-10 games, means that the top teams are all winning most of their games. So three losses is not going to put you in second place in the conference anymore. So that was an oversight on my part. But other than that, they did about what I expected. So lived up to their billing. Yes, both the Arizona game and the Maryland game, they lost to inferior teams. Overall, they should be 10-2 right now based on their talent and skill. But you could argue that they should have lost to Oregon. Oregon is a better team when firing on all cylinders. Maybe not. That might be a stretch. But whatever. That's the range of which we're talking about. 10-2 at the best, 8-4 at the worst, and then a bowl game one way or the other. So I think 9-4 is right in line with expectations, more or less. The offense underperformed to expectations. People expected more of it than they got. And the defense, frankly, overperformed for expectations. People did not expect a team that gave up less than 20 points a game and was one of the better defenses in the country, perhaps in the top 10, in my opinion, even though the numbers may not support that, because they play in a conference where you play a lot of teams that can put up a fair number of points. It is not fair to compare them against a Big Ten school or a Big 12 school, which I think is completely devoid of defenses this year, and we're going to see as the bowl season progresses that how right I am about that. So, what are the expectations for next season? I think they're still pretty modest because of the quarterback position, because nobody really knows and believes whether Riley's going to be able to put it together. And then you add in all the losses on the defensive side of the ball, and people are going to say, look, if they struggle as much as this year with the same, effectively the same personnel, and they've lost their key three linebackers and Rulon Davis, they're just not going to be able to do what they did last year. So I think expectations are going to be relatively modest next year, but I think the team will probably have a better shot at exceeding those expectations next year because I think they have the tools in place to do better. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the On the Road Home podcast. Make sure to listen to the quotes here at the end. I was doing the game from the press box, so I have quotes from Tedford and a number of the players. You'll hear them next. This will be my last podcast for the year, of course. However, I'm hoping to make it to spring ball and do a few podcasts at that time. They'll probably be hosted over on BearTerritory.net for press/legality reasons, which is why they were hosted there the weekday ones where I went to the stadium were hosted from BearTerritory.net as well. But they will continue to be free if I can have any say about that, so that you can always listen to them. But thank you for listening to this. I hope you considered it a good season. Please feel free to give me any comments in the comment section about how you'd like me to improve these podcasts in the future, and I'll be glad to incorporate those over the off season. Thank you for listening. Here are press conference quotes from head coach Jeff Tedford.
I'm very proud of this group of guys, our seniors especially, to go out with another bowl victory. They've had a great career here. All these guys right here, except for him, are going out on a positive note. We've had a great week. It's been a great week here at the Emerald Bowl. Diamond Foods and the Emerald Bowl did a fantastic job of providing these guys with a great experience this week. And really proud of the way our defense played, made some big plays. You have to give Miami a lot of credit. They're a very good football team. A lot of athletes on that field, and they played very, very hard. And, you know, but we made the plays when we needed to down the stretch. Zach with the forced fumble at the end, and the touchdown pass by Nate to Anthony. And then throughout the game, the offensive line, Alex and the rest of his guys opening up holes for Javid. It was a team effort, and we're very pleased and happy to win. And very happy the way our fans turned out. It was like another home game for us. And so great experience for us here at the Emerald Bowl. And just really proud of these guys going out to get a victory. We had to mix it up, though, a little bit. Those guys, you're not just going to line up every down and run downhill. We played a couple play-action passes here and there. But I thought our offensive line, our tight end, and let's not forget Will Taffo, our fullback, who is really an unheralded guy in our run game. He's a guy that's always the lead blocker, has a great feel for the run game, and so we made some big plays in the run game. We didn't think that we were going to be able to just line up every down and you know, run them over, but we had some nice success, some field position changing runs by Javid, and anytime you do that, it just goes a pass down the field. So But I thought our guys did a nice job of blocking up front. They did a couple things differently that they hadn't shown on film this year. They went to a double eagle and they put some mic up the middle. So they got us early with that a couple times. Nate got rid of the ball. I don't think we got sacked on it, but it forced him to get rid of the ball early. They made some big plays as well. You have to give them credit. I thought they did a nice job. They have a really good secondary. I thought they covered our receivers very well. And there wasn't a lot of separation there for the most part. Well, it was a slide route. We shifted Will out to open up the edge. And then Cam was supposed to slide underneath. And that's Nate's first option. He got caught up in the wash right there, and he couldn't get out. So Nate did a nice job of staying patient and kept rolling. Had nice vision up over the top, and Anthony found the back of the end zone, and they put it right on his numbers. He zipped it to him. Would have put any air on that because he caught it and got whacked pretty good right there. So nice patience by Nate to continue to work his progression in the route and do a strike. Well, we have a lot of confidence in the defense. I think one of them was around the 30-yard line, 32-yard line, somewhere right there. Would have been a 47-yard field goal. Felt like, yeah, if we didn't make that right then, our defense would step up. I thought our field position was okay, where it wasn't too big of a risk to do anything like that. Again, it was blocked very well, and it turned into a big play. I think Javi got down inside the 5 on that play. His performance speaks for itself. Not only is he really talented, but he's a great young man, and he's got a lot of heart. Plays with a lot of heart. He's been banged up all season, and continues to come out to practice. Plays through a lot of injuries, and today he got nicked up again. Hurt his thumb pretty bad and came back into the game, wanting to play. So he has great heart. He has a lot of respect from his teammates. I think his ability speaks for itself. The guy is a phenomenal athlete, does a great job, but there's much more to it than that.
Here are press conference quotes from linebacker Zach Follett.
I kind of said something at a pep rally, kind of pissed him, made him mad. They've been japping at the jaw during the whole game and before the game. So, I kind of went down, and be truthful, I could not give him the glory, but I got down and prayed right before that play. Jesus would just play through my body and give me the strength. And, man, he couldn't have come at a better time. I got the Kmart on the edge, did the one arm like Coach Thompson been telling me all game. And once I saw him do his kind of set, once he put the ball down, I started to roll out. I knew I had him. And that's when Tosh Lupoy's voice just came in my head to bring that arm and club that arm so you can make him fumble. And once I saw the ball come out, I tried to get up, but Cam got there. Yeah, definitely. This is one of the best atmospheres I played in. To be on that field and being a little kid coming to baseball games there and seeing like what a beautiful stadium that is, and to have all eyes on you out there, it's something really special, like a dream come true. And to go out there and get a win like we did, I'm so proud of this team, and these seniors have done a good job leading this team to bounce back what we had to go through last year, and to really go through what these coaches put us through to make sure we didn't have a season like that. These seniors, I take my hat off to all of them.
Here are press conference quotes from quarterback Nate Longshore.
Like you said, it's a rollout with a slide. Usually that's who you hit, that's who you're looking for, just in sneaking line to line of scrimmage. He got caught up, and we practice the play probably every day of the year. It's one of our staples that we have. I saw that yellow flashing across the back of the end zone with nobody on him, so I had to jump on it. Oh, he's good. It's not like I'm throwing to nobody out there. Anthony Miller's going to be a great player, and he has a lot of potential, that's for sure. And obviously it feels good to win. It always feels good to win your bowl game, especially. And against playing against a good team against, like, Miami, they were better than I even thought they were going to be once I got out there. They had a good defense, and I knew that coming in when we got out there, they were playing hard. It definitely feels good to go out on top.
Here are press conference quotes from running back Javon Best.
Honestly, I didn't even know I had a bowl record, but this game just meant so much for me. I mean, playing for these seniors and I was playing for a lot for Will Tofoe. I mean, he doesn't get a lot of recognition that he deserves. And I mean, I'm with him there every day at practice, in the meetings, and everything. And I mean, I was laying it out on the line for him. I don't really feel any pressure. I don't really pay attention to all that kind of stuff. But my main goal is just to memorize the game plan and just go out there and execute and do whatever I can to help the team win.
Here are press conference quotes from center Alex Mack.
Last game of my college career was kind of surreal. It didn't hit me until about 12 seconds left. And looked at the field and had 12 seconds left of college football. And so it was really fun. I was running around all over the field after the game just saying hi to all the fans and saw my parents out in the stands. And it was amazing. I mean, just to have so many Cal fans here for my final game and just to be able to say goodbye to everybody was special.
Here are press conference quotes from defensive coordinator Bob Gregory.
Great. I mean, we're good enough definitely to win. We gave a couple long drives, but, a couple turnovers were huge. That's one of these we've been preaching coached efforts. We've been preaching all year is our turnovers. And I think we had, correct me if I'm wrong, do we have 14 points off a turnover? Did we score both times off a turnover? Or just once? Just one time.
First time you didn't.
Points after turnover. So, I mean, it's been good for us all year. Well, yeah, and those guys were good. I mean, those guys got a lot of very good athletes and a lot of freshmen over there. And they're going to be an awesome team in a year or two. But it's true, our guys played very good today and kept battling, kept playing hard. And actually, they got a couple drives on us. And they did a nice job with mixing up some play action, the run, and two backs, two tight ends, which they hadn't shown as much before. But the guys played well. Yeah, I mean, you do. I think anytime you have, you expect your players to make plays. Just like an offense, you expect Jobin to make plays. So you expect Zach to make plays, you expect Cam to make plays, you expect Sid to make plays. Those are your guys, and you want those guys to make plays. It is. He's a tenacious player. I mean, he goes hard all the time. And what's great about him is he's dinged up a lot during the week and can't always go all the time, but he plays very hard on Saturdays, that's for sure. You know a lot. I mean, he's got all the guys look to, and he does it by example also. And we're gonna miss it. We're gonna miss all the seniors. We have a good group of seniors on defense: Tony, Warrell, Zach, Rulon. It's a good bunch of guys, that's for sure. Mika Kane. We'll miss those guys. Yeah, Zach. I can't remember which series it was. It may have been the series where Cam got the fumble recovery. I mean, he got all the guys together and say we got to go That's where his leadership kind of stepped forward. He kind of stepped up there and talked to the defense, and we got to make plays. We got to do our deal, and it was good. Those are the kind of guys you win games with. Well, good. We kind of felt like we had the personnel to do it, and we're recruiting to the personnel now, and we think we got some good young guys. So it's what we're going to be from now on is a 3-4 defense. That's for sure. On the road again.